This is Jim Field.
And Stacey Linfer.
And this is your Nishna Valley for, well, the first weekend in April now.
Can you believe it already?
Guess it's the first half weekend in April.
Kind of feels like summer, though.
I know.
I'm loving it.
It's 80-some degrees here this weekend.
Yeah.
It's just not supposed to be like that. I was looking, actually, this last week in the Grizzled American newspaper, in their Days Gone By section. It's 100 years ago. On Thursday, March 21st of 1912, they had an article in there that said this section of Iowa was visited by the worst snowstorm of the year Thursday and Thursday night. Snow fell to the depth of a foot on the level and everything was put out of commission. The wind drifted the snow and all the roads were blocked. Burlington train needed two engines to get here Thursday. One car was derailed twice as they tried to switch it. Some of the snow banks of Main Street were 10 feet high and a whole regiment could hide behind them. Farmers came to town in bunches. They all carried shovels and broke the roads in good shape. Will Adams at the Adams Cafe claims one man had to shovel snow from under his windmill Friday so that the wheel could turn.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, we get used to this great weather and stuff, and then, you know, you look back from the past and read stories. Now, I know this was 100 years ago,
right,
but it could just as well have been last year.
Yeah.
We've had plenty of snow events in April. We've been so, so lucky this spring.
Huh, I don't remember any.
Different types of good weather, and, oh, yeah, we've had Easter. In fact, I have a younger brother who got married in April.
Mm-hmm.
Middle of April. I don't remember the exact date. It's terrible. I should. It was like the
14th
or the 15th. Yeah, it was like the 14th or the 15th of April up in Dubuque. And that would have been about 14, 15 years ago. And yeah, when we came out of the church after the service, there was about 6 inches of wet, sloppy snow on the ground.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it can snow any time. And we've just been so incredibly fortunate here with such warm weather. I mean, it gets into the 60s in the afternoon. We're grabbing for jackets now.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, 80s this weekend, and it's just been so nice. But it can turn.
That's true.
So don't,
a little nervous.
Don't get too, I mean, if you come here to the radio station and you walk through the front door, one of the first things you're greeted by out there in the vestibule is the snow shovel.
Yeah, it's still there.
It's still sitting there.
I think the ice melt still might be there, too.
Just in case.
Just in case. It doesn't hurt.
Because you never know for sure. We're not completely out of the possibility of, you know, bad weather season yet. So just because we've been lucky here for quite a few weeks in a row doesn't mean we're completely out of the woods. You imagine, I mean, snow banks 10 feet high. I don't think I could deal with that right now. I'm so
not
out of that.
Not the weather we've had so far, yeah.
Yeah, I'm so out of that mindset now.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know what would, I don't know how I'd react. Well, I know how I'd react to that. I'd be very angry at this point.
Not too happy.
But yeah, just not nice. Well, anyway, also, I was looking in that, you know, the Days Gone By section. I circled a couple of others here because a couple of them were kind of interesting, too. I love these old stories and how they were written back then. Here's one from 1937, 75 or so years ago. It says, a small band of gypsies made their camp east of Lewis Sunday, and naturally everyone that even got in shooting distance held onto their pocketbooks. This band of wanderers were traveling in style in the latest house trailers and apparently had plenty of money. Lewis people have had dealings with other bands of gypsies, which did not prove very profitable.
Uh-oh, wonder what happened there.
Traveling gypsies, huh?
Don't hear that every day.
Here's another one from 1887, 125 years ago. This one I kind of found a little funny. This was actually in the Griswold newspaper back then, 1887. It says, the principal sport now indulged by the average Griswold young man and many older ones is pelting each other in the face with boxing gloves. It is quite amusing to the party that stands off to one side and looks on, but in our humble judgment, the one who receives the bloody nose and black eyes does not relish the sport so well.
I wouldn't think so.
I'm guessing that's a pretty astute observation.
Yeah.
And that holds true today as well.
Yeah,
that was 125 years ago. You know, they didn't have TV back then.
No.
They didn't have much of anything back then for modern conveniences, so...
Got to find entertainment somewhere, I guess.
What are you going to do on a Friday night?
Yeah.
Huh? Go out and hand out some boxing gloves and see if you can find a couple of guys to wail on each other.
I'm sure they were pretty well padded back then, too, you know.
Well, I'm thinking they were probably pretty well, you know, it's probably on a Friday and Saturday night. So
yeah.
I'm thinking they had a little bit of...
help.
Yeah, I think they were a little looser than normal probably at that point for that little extravaganza there. Yeah, I'm sure that was the case. Lots of things going on. Have you had a chance to get out much?
I've taken a few walks with Wyatt. That's been nice. But other than that, really, that's kind of about it.
It's just, it's so nice outside to be able to do some things. We've gone out for walks. That's a given. But last weekend, I just decided we used to ride bikes a lot. And we used to ride Ragbri and stuff, but we really haven't done much. The last Ragbri that we rode was in 2000, so it's been a few years since we've done that. But the bikes, they hang on a couple of hooks up in the...
Dusty and...
Yeah, they hang on the top of the garage. So I hadn't thought much about... I mean, last year I really thought about getting them down, but, you know, then there were just other things going on and what have you. But last weekend I just got the itch, so I decided, okay, I'm going to do it. Took them down off the hooks and filled the tires up. They took air, which is great.
Yeah.
Filled the tires up and scrubbed them down, got the chains all oiled up, made sure all the supplies we needed were there. And we just took a quick ride, you know, out. I think we rode to the landfill and back. So, you know, I don't know how many miles that is, 7-8 miles maybe, or down over and back. So, you know, just a nice little leisurely ride on a Sunday afternoon. It was nice to be able to do that.
Yeah.
Haven't played golf yet. Still looking forward to the first round of golf. But everything is in such nice shape. It's just so hard to stay indoors.
Yeah, I mean, the grass is green. The trees are already turning green. You know, some of them are blooming. And
you know, usually this time of the year, folks always complain about cabin fever. You know, we've been stuck inside all long winter and haven't been able to do anything. And then you start to get a couple of nice days, but then there's a reminder that it's still spring.
Right.
You get some rain or maybe some more snow or cold comes back in. And it just seems like it kind of drags out. I haven't noticed cabin fever much this year.
No, not really.
You know, we didn't have a nasty winter in the first
place. No, we didn't. We got lucky there, too.
And really, the weather's been quite nice here for a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, since really the last little bit of snow that we've had, the weather turned nice for this time of the year anyway, pretty quickly. So I think folks were able to get out and not kind of fret that, gee whiz, when's it going to, you know, completely be gone so we can go out and enjoy. We've been able to do that so early. I think the whole cabin fever thing just passed us by this year.
Yeah. Not complaining.
No, not at all.
If it happens again next year, all the better.
I'm good with that. I'm absolutely good with that. Well, by now, if you're listening by now, you already know that we weren't winners of that big Mega Millions jackpot because we're here.
Yeah. Fortunately not, yeah.
Had we won, not so sure that would be the case.
Mm.
Did you get a ticket?
I haven't, but my husband said he bought a few of them, so
okay.
I'm counting on him.
Okay. Oh, boy, are you going to be disappointed?
Yeah, I know.
Well, you know, so many people have bought tickets. I was out to one of the local vendors this last week, and in fact, on Friday, which is the day of the drawing, and I said, how are things? Busy, especially today.
Yeah.
You know, so many people out there trying to get tickets and stuff. In fact, I had one guy that told me on Friday morning he stopped to get a ticket, and it took 4 minutes for the machine to register the ticket because, you know, it's all going to one central computer server and to pull numbers and stuff. And there were so many people all over the country that were doing it at that particular time that it just slowed the system down.
But wow. That's crazy.
Yikes. Well, it was interesting to, you know, Friday morning we kind of joked around a little bit about, you know, everybody thinks about it. You got to be lying if you haven't thought about winning the jackpot or winning a large sum of money like that. And, you know, what would you do? Do you know anybody who's won anything of substance? And I'm not talking about a couple $100 or, you know, $35 or something. Or,
no.
You know, but won a few $1,000 or something. I mean, I've known some people over the years who have won, I think up to $50,000 was the,
oh, really?
Was
wow.
the most of somebody that I knew that had won. But you know, it's always, I think a lot of people think about that. Gee, what would I do? You know, and you have these ideas in your mind if I had a large chunk of money and stuff and, you know, what would all happen. But really, what would you do? Do you even know?
We actually kind of talked about this the other night. I asked Mike what would be the first thing he would want to buy because I figured it'd be like a Harley or, you know, a Jeep or something. But new house with a big shop to put all of those new vehicles in.
Ah, take care of things first before you get the things.
Well,
but what about, what would you do? I mean, if you pulled your number out or you pulled your ticket out and looked and it's like, oh, boy, I think these are the numbers.
I'd be rereading them a lot just to make sure I start freaking out.
That's kind of what everybody says right away. I think I'd go and review those numbers several times to make sure. And then I'm not sure what I'd do.
Yeah, I wouldn't know the first step, you know, legal wise and all that.
Well, I found an article that had some quick questions and answers about things to do. And like, first of all, was if you would be a winner.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be this massive one. It could be any jackpot.
Yeah.
But they're all massive for that matter. But what do you do with the ticket? You know, the first thing they always suggest that you do, and actually even before you win, is to sign the back of the ticket. There's a place to sign it. If you don't sign the ticket, somebody can take it from you.
That's true,
and
yeah.
You really don't have much of a claim to it unless there's somehow some sort of hard proof, but sign the back of the ticket. And they suggest you do that after you buy it, before the drawing even happens. But sign the back of the ticket. It stops anyone else from claiming the jackpot in case you drop it while you're jumping up and down. Woohoo,
yeah.
I won.
So also it'll make it legible then, I guess, by that.
Well, I suppose you probably want to do that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, actually, you know.
They suggest maybe making a photocopy of it. Lock it up in a safe and at least know where it's protected.
Mm-hmm.
There was a woman in Rhode Island who won a $336 million Powerball jackpot in February. She hid the ticket in her Bible and then went out to breakfast.
Huh.
I think I'd probably do something a little bit more secure than that, but that's what she did. And then one of the next things they say you do is relax, breathe, and think about your next move. Don't do anything you'll regret for the next 30 years, like calling up your best friend or every one of your aunts, uncles, and cousins,
yeah,
and that type of thing. It doesn't take long to be overwhelmed by long-lost friends,
mm-hmm,
and charities and all kinds of things that want to help you share that lottery prize. So, and when they, you know, and then who do you contact?
Right.
Well, if you're not going to call folks like that, who do you contact? Well, a lawyer, a financial planner would be a lot wiser than updating your Facebook status.
Just won the jackpot, yeah.
Make sure it's someone you can trust and maybe perhaps someone you've dealt with before. But, you know, ask a close family member or friend if you've not dealt with anybody. There was one attorney from Oklahoma City who has represented a handful of lottery winners in the past. And he says it's essential to assemble a team of financial managers, tax experts, accountants, and bankers, because this is a massive change in your life. And you can be completely overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing the numbers when you take a look at what happens. You know, there are a lot of decisions to be made. Do you take the lump, or do you just take it out over the period of time, you know, in annuity payments and stuff? Taxes, you know, you're going to have to deal with those types of issues. You know, managing money, those types of things, you know, they always talk about how you're going to manage this and manage that. But it's amazing, you know, how many people will come up and bother you about different things. You're going to get inundated with requests and things. How do you deal with all those kinds of things? It's hard to stay anonymous after you win a jackpot,
right,
since when you sign the back
of the
ticket.
That'd be the biggest downfall.
Yeah, one of the things that you're signing on to is they can use your likeness and your name for promotions. So it's pretty easy there. It's about impossible to keep yourself, you know, incognito. But they also say that it was amazing, too, about how many people lose their lottery winnings. Don McNay wrote a book called Son of a Gambler, Winners, Losers, and What to Do When You Win the Lottery. And he says 9 out of 10 winners go through their money in 5 years or less.
Wow.
Because it's too much too fast. And nobody around you will tell you to put the brakes on your spending. They want you to keep spending because they want you to spend
it on them. Well, if they're
getting
part of it, then yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. So it's amazing when you think about that. You think, I'll be set for life.
Right. Not so much.
Usually not the case. Usually not the case. So I suppose it's kind of a little bit overwhelming, like like other things in our lives can be too. So
yeah.
I doubt most of us will experience that type of problem. Don't think I'm probably going to win the lottery jackpot anytime soon.
It doesn't hurt to do the wishful thinking,
but
though.
But yeah, it's interesting, all the little aspects. You know, you don't think of all the hassles. You think about how great life will be.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those folks don't have a great life afterward, or
no,
don't have it for the long term.
Yeah, you always see like how bad they went down. So.
Depends on your planning.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, that's enough of that stuff. We didn't win anyway because we're here. So let's just move forward and get after a few things. I know you got some stuff going on. Good ways to spend your money. Here,
yes,
right?
Yes. Like a fundraiser for Tony Bailey that'll be held on Sunday, April 1st. That's at the Old Hancock Fire Hall. It's a soup supper for a free will donation, and they have a bake sale and an auction. There's a list of auction items. You can find that on the Facebook group page, Fundraiser for Tony Bailey. If you'd like any more information or questions about donating, you can call Mandy Billings at 307-0510. That's a fundraiser for Tony Bailey on April 1st. That's at the Old Hancock Fire Hall. There's a notice to property owners. Your second half tax payments of real estate and mobile homes are now due. You can go online to pay your taxes at iowatreasurers.org. You can use your credit card or debit card. And the deadline for payments without penalty is Monday, April 2nd. Or if they're at least postmarked, that will work then too. It's second half tax payments of real estate and mobile homes are due Monday, April 2nd. The Cumberland Fire Department's Pork Chop Supper, that's on April 7th at the Cumberland Fire Station. That is from 5:30 to 8. Just $8 for the pork chop dinner or $3 for a kid's hot dog meal. It's a Cumberland Fire Department's pork chop supper on April 7th at the Cumberland Fire Station from 5:30 to 8. The Atlantic Nursing Rehab Center's Community Easter Egg Hunt is on April 7th, and that's held at the Atlantic Nursing Rehab Center. They will not be have parking available on 19th Street for the event from 8 a.m. to noon. They're just trying to make the safest environment for the kids, so it's important for the parents to know that there will be temporarily no parking on 19th Street around the nursing facility during the event. You can park at the high school and walk up the hill, or they'll also have two shuttle buses that will be going back and forth. The event starts promptly at 10:30 a.m., so make sure you get there early. They'll have 8 bikes with helmets, 4 skateboards, 15,000 filled eggs, 25 baskets, and 60 stuffed animals that will be given away. They'll also have hot dogs and chips and pop and popcorn and cake provided while supplies last. And the Atlantic Fire Department, they'll be bringing the Easter Bunny to the event. The sound of the fire sirens after the fire truck is parked will signify the start of the event, and areas will be divided into age groups 0 through 2, 3 to 4, 5 to 7, and 8 through 9-year-olds. Just make sure that you bring plenty of adults, as the kids will be hunting eggs in separate areas. They ask after the hunt you empty your eggs and leave them in the big bins so they can be reused for next year.
Did you have any other Easter egg hunts there?
That's the only one I've gotten
so far.
Okay,
well, I've got a couple others here we probably should throw in there while we're talking about it. The Messina Chamber of Commerce annual Easter egg hunt will be on Friday, April the 6th, and that'll be in the City Park at 6 p.m. in Messina. Donations and volunteers are also needed to make the event a success. So, again, that's Friday, April 6th in the Messina City Park, 6 p.m., the Easter egg hunt there. Also, Anita's Easter egg hunt is coming up on Saturday, April 7th at 10:30 a.m. That'll be held at the Colonial Manor. Kids need to come early to our, everybody should come early to allow for parking. And the kids will start hunting the eggs at 10:30 sharp that morning. So they're trying something different this year also to help distribute prizes more fairly to ensure all large items are limited to one per child. So the Easter eggs that they will hunt will be empty. However, once they turn in the eggs, then they'll receive a goodie bag, and in that bag might be a winning ticket for one of the larger prizes. So everybody gets something, and some will get maybe a little bit more, too. Mm-hmm. Again, that's in Anita. That's Saturday, April 7th, 10:30 a.m. at the Colonial Manor. So some other Easter egg hunt information.
Very good. There's a free rain barrel workshop that's on April 14th from 9:30 a.m. to 12 p.m. The workshop includes a program about rainwater harvesting and also includes a chance to build a rain barrel to take home. They work best connected to a downspout, and if you'd like to build a barrel, it's $40 for the supplies. It's a free rain barrel workshop on April 14th from 9:30 to 12, and then that's if you want to build your own, that's $40 for the supplies. Exodus chapter 313, Order of the Eastern Star. They're having a spaghetti supper at the Elkhorn Town Hall on April 15th, and they're serving from 11 to 1:30. It's free will donation. Proceeds go to the Exira Elkhorn Kimbleton High School Scholarship Fund. If you have any questions, you can contact Connie Esbeck at 268-2291. Circles for Success Benefit to Beautify South Lawn Memory Gardens will be held on April 15th. It's from 5 to 8 at Pizza Hut in Atlantic, and Pizza Hut will donate 15% of all sales. Thrivent is providing supplemental funds. A free developmental child fair for CAM Community Schools will be held on April 16th. In Messina, it's from 8:30 to 11:30 a.m., and then in Anita, it is from 12:30 to 3:30. It's for children ages birth through 5 who live in the CAM school district and who have not presently enrolled in the four-year-old preschool or kindergarten. A developmental screening to assess your child's development will focus on the following skill areas: social, cognitive, and motor. A vision and hearing test will also be provided, as well as updates on immunization requirements. Children do not need to be toilet trained, and they also have their Lollipop 3-year-old preschool and 4-year-old preschool registration at that time. For appointments, you can call Sherry Chester at the CAM South Elementary School office, or also Kay Hansen at the CAM North Elementary School office. Also coming from CAM, the 8th graders are putting on a play, The Sousification of Romeo and Juliet. That's on April 20th, and they'll have a supper at 5:30 and serving until 7. And then the play will start at 7:30 with an auction following. It is a fundraiser for Lou Hosfeld, who recently had 2 organ transplants. She received a new pancreas and kidneys in March. To help with medical expenses, the CAM students, along with the staff, are putting on a spaghetti supper, play, and silent auction. That's the CAM Middle School 8th grade putting on the play The Sousification of Romeo and Juliet on April 20th. And the supper starts at 5:30, and the play starts at 7:30.
Okay, some other things going on here. Some this weekend. There's a Palm Sunday brunch this Sunday, April 1st, at the Casey United Methodist Church. And that will be held from 10:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. All proceeds go to the Kids to Camp Fund, and the public, of course, is invited. That's the Casey United Methodist Church Palm Sunday brunch this Sunday, April 1st, 10:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Also, there's a pancake breakfast this Sunday, April the 1st, at the Anita Community Center. That's from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. A free will offering is being asked for there. It's sponsored by the Obedience Lodge 380 of Anita, and the proceeds will develop a scholarship program for the graduating seniors in the CAM Community School District. Again, that's a pancake breakfast at the Anita Community Center this Sunday, April 1st, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., asking for your free will offering. Also this weekend, Sunday, April the 1st, there will be the annual Palm Sunday Kirkman Fire Department Breakfast Fundraiser. That's from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Kirkman Community Building. It's a big breakfast. Come hungry. It's an all-you-can-eat deal, serving biscuits and sausage gravy, scrambled eggs, ham, pancakes, and beverages. Got a couple different favorites there. Free will donations, what they ask for, with the proceeds to help the Kirkman Fire Department's Fire and Rescue Equipment Fund. Again, that's Sunday, April the 1st, 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Kirkman Community Building. Also coming up here in the next few days, a couple of blood drives here in the area. There'll be a Red Cross blood drive in Harlan at the Murtu Medical Center on Monday, this Monday, April the 2nd, from 8:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. You do need to call Anita at 755-5221 to schedule your appointment for that event. And also, there's a Red Cross blood drive coming up this April the 5th, and that will be on Thursday of this coming week in Walnut. That'll be at the Walnut High School. It's at 509 Antique City Drive in Walnut, and that's from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. You can call 1-800-RED-CROSS to set up your appointments for that event. Again, that's Thursday, April the 5th, 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Walnut High School. Red Cross blood drive going on there. Also coming up this week, on Wednesday, April the 4th at 7 p.m., there'll be a dramatization of The Living Last Supper. That'll be hosted by the Congregational United Church of Christ in Anita. Refreshments and fellowship will follow. It's presented by the First United Methodist Church in Harlan. Again, that'll be at the Congregational United Church of Christ in Anita, 7 p.m. this Wednesday, April 4th, a dramatization of The Living Last Supper going on. Now, also, another event coming up this week. This is kind of a neat event. The Civil War is coming back to life, a traveling Civil War exhibit from the History on the Move project by the Iowa State Historical Society will be coming to Avoca this week on Thursday, April 5th, and Friday, April 6th. That's from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. both days. You'll be able to see actual Civil War memorabilia, including personal stories of Iowa soldiers, the historic documents, maps, and artifacts, plus information and records of Iowa's role in the Civil War. Now, that'll be located at the Farmalland USA Museum parking lot. That's in Avoca. If you take exit 40 off of I-80, it's near the Embers Restaurant, south of the interstate. All ages are welcome. Admission is free. The Newtown Avoca Historical Society and the Town and Country Junior Federated helping to sponsor that event. Again, that's coming up Thursday, April 5th, Friday, April 6th, 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. both days. Everyone welcome. It's free. It's in Avoca, and it's really a must-see event, especially if you enjoy history or your family has a long history here in the area. You may very well be surprised what you find.
Yeah.
All right, we need to take a short break. Stay with us. We'll be back right after you listen to this.
Rachel Hansen, occupational therapist at Cache County Memorial Hospital.
Generally, occupational therapy focuses specifically on hand and wrist and elbow injuries, while physical therapy addresses the back and lower body issues, any kind of leg, hip fractures, knee problems, etc. And physical therapy often works with a patient's mobility, their ability to transfer and ambulate, while occupational therapy would focus more on the patient's everyday tasks, such as dressing and bathing, preparing meals, things like that. And occupational therapy also tends to work a little bit more with cognitive issues, testing for cognitive decline and whether a patient is able to function safely on their own at home or if they would benefit from having more supervision. We complete safety evaluations in patients' homes to make recommendations so they can increase their safety and reduce their fall risk. There's a lot of areas where we overlap, but there's a lot of differences in what our goals are too. So
again, that's Rachel Hansen, occupational therapist at Cass County Memorial Hospital.
All right, birthdays. You got a couple of them, right?
I do. Let's see here. Over the Salem Lutheran Home in Elkhorn, we'd like to wish happy birthday to Arlene Hansen, celebrating her birthday on March 31st. And also to Doris Scott, who will be celebrating her birthday on April 4th. So happy birthday to those two there at the Salem Lutheran Home in Elkhorn.
All right, very good. Don't have any anniversaries or babies to tell you about. Can I throw another birthday in real quick?
Yeah.
Monday's my dad's birthday.
Oh.
So he can't hear me, but happy birthday,
yeah,
Dad.
Yeah, he still say it.
Already told him. He's good.
Yeah.
I'll talk to him on Monday. But yeah, one other thing I want to throw in here before we run out of time here this weekend too, something that's coming up this next week for actually about 10 days or so. April is Child Abuse Prevention Month, which of course is always an important thing. It's unfortunate we even have to talk about it.
Right.
But we do. The theme this year is Stand Up for Children, and the local Child Abuse Prevention Council is asking for some community assistance this year. You know, it's always difficult to find the needed items and things to be able to support these folks when issues do come up. So what they're doing this year is they're collecting items for a couple of agencies that help out with these issues. The Family Crisis Support Network, which is a nonprofit domestic abuse prevention assistance center, and also West Central Community Action. That's a nonprofit agency that assists families with clothing, food, heat assistance, and other resources. So the Lullaby Foundation's Child Abuse Prevention Council here in Atlantic has set up some drop-off points. Got a little competition going on this year.
Hmm.
Well, what better way to have a fundraiser to make a little competition out of it? Sure, make it fun. So here's what they're doing. At the Cass County Memorial Hospital, they have four different local businesses, the Cass County Memorial Hospital, Hy-Vee, Fairway, and Molly Engine Components. Those are the four locations. Now, what you're going to do is you'll find drop-off points in each of those businesses. It starts this Monday, April 2nd. They'll start gathering donations for those agencies. So they have some wish lists that are posted, and they'll be available at those drop-off locations. No cash donations, though, at the drop-off points. They're asking for items, and those donations will be accepted for a 10-day period through Thursday, April the 12th. That'll be the final day. Then after the donations are collected, they're going to go through and just kind of keep tally marks, see who had the most, which business location had the most items collected. And then they'll finish out the month displaying the 100 pinwheels for prevention display and a banner spreading the word about protecting children at their location. So Kristen Templeton is the facilitator for the Cass County Child Abuse Prevention Council, and they helped to put all this stuff together, and the wish list is pretty extensive. It's a lot of things that you would expect on there.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, we should start with saying that all these donations, they ask that they be new, nothing used.
You're not just getting rid of your old clothes.
Don't just clean out the closets and stuff. They're asking for new, unused items, okay? It's for health and safety reasons.
Right.
Now, they have personal care items, you know, a lot of things that you would probably expect, things like, tissues and diapers, baby wipes, things like that, combs, conditioners, deodorants, gas cards, phone cards, all kinds of things that might help out, school supplies, toilet paper, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you would expect clothing items. They can be adult or children, large, small, boots, hats, gloves, all kinds of different things, and non-perishable food items. You would expect that kind of stuff, too. You know, boxed things, things that are canned, fruits and vegetables, coffee supplies, different things, or perhaps even gift cards for fast foods or formulas or different things like that, groceries. But I never really thought much about housekeeping items. They have a column here that's entitled Housekeeping. I didn't really think much about that. But things like blankets, baggies in the gallon or quart size, cleaning supplies, cookware sets, foil, light bulbs, paper towels, wall clocks, perhaps, alarm clocks, toilet bowl cleaner, different types of things. You know, when suddenly you have to be pulled out of your environment and move someplace else, largely that happens in a moment's notice.
Right.
You don't have time
to pack up or...
You don't have time, not just to pack, but even to, have the supplies that you need if you have to go someplace else. So they're asking that if folks can do that, if you're going to be out shopping one of those during that period of time, maybe pick up a few extra items that you could drop off to help out with those folks that are in need. Child abuse issues, it's not the kid's fault. The kid sometimes kind of gets in the middle of things, and it's not fair, it's not right, it's despicable, but it happens, and we can't do much about it. It's difficult, it's we all get into situations where we can't really help. We're not medical doctors when people get sick, so I can't really help with that. What we can do is provide support through donations and also through the mental support that we provide too. So that's what they're asking folks to do if you can help out. So do that if you can. That's all the time we have this weekend. Thanks for joining us, as always. This is Jim Field.
And Stacey Linfer.
And this has been your Nishna Valley.